insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
It's pure chicanery.
Okay, so if you're just tuning in, this is the third hour of the show. We've covered a lot of territory today, but we typically do that. And the most recent pit stop was I won't go back and reread the whole thing, but it was a thing on Reddit. A guy, 32, married to his wife. She's 31. He asks her after they had a baby. It appears, based upon what he says, that they've been married for 10 years. Maybe they've been together for 10 years, but probably married the better part of the 10 years. He's not specific. She seems like a really nice lady. And he asks her for a DNA test to find out if the baby's his. She's saying, how come you're not helping with the baby? How come you don't change the diapers? How come you don't get up at night? How come you don't do anything with the baby? And he says, I didn't really want to tell her why, but she cornered me. So, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says, so finally I just said, would you be willing to have a DNA test? And that started a chain reaction to the point now, according to how he described this, where, you know, she's leaving, it appears. And yes, I have been harsh on this guy just based upon what he says. You know, he's the one who's explaining the story. And some people have said, yeah, but there's got to be more to the story. Well, duh, obviously there's more to the story, but we don't know what it is. We don't know, only what he told us. So that's kind of the topic du jour right now anyway. And so if you're interested in discussing that, I think that he was stupid and ridiculous for doing this just based upon what he posted. And I will pause it right now, right up front. Yes, obviously there's more to the story. Who knows what that is, but there's nothing about what he described that would suggest that his wife was running around, which is the essence of the whole thing. So I have one email here. This is from Will. And where is Will listening? I don't know where he's listening from, but he says, 10 years together, married or not, why so long for a baby to come along? Maybe he thought he was unable to father a child. Like the last caller, there's more to the story. Well, yes, and thank you, Will. But yes, there's obviously more to the story. But we don't know what that more to the story is, so we can only go on what we see. This is from Kat, listening in Alpena, Michigan. And I'm going to paraphrase part of Kat's email.
please do.
I'm going to substitute the word loser for the word that Kat used. Maybe loser had a vasectomy back in his wild youth and never bothered to tell her. So when after 10 years of no kids, ... Yeah, I follow what you're saying here. I follow. He doesn't say that. It's possible. It's certainly possible, no doubt. But since we, you know, it's a kind of mysterious thing because we only know what he's told us in on this.
Yeah, that's a good point, post. But he doesn't say anything about that in the post. No. So, and you, that's pertinent information that you would think he would include.
Yeah, that's an important point. We can only go by what he posted. And so, yes, henceforth and forever, we can all agree there's more to the story. So there's no need for us to keep rehashing that point. This is an email that comes in from Iris. She's listening on the Relevant Radio app. She says, this philosophy has been on my mind lately. A few weeks ago, I watched a YouTube interview and a woman advocates for married men to ask for DNA tests because she believes women can't be trusted. And they use marriage and divorce as a way to make money. She says women aren't better than men at anything. While on an interview with a different host, she said she's reconsidering her Catholic faith because we give too high of a regard to Mary and shouldn't regard any woman so highly. It's all disturbing, brain-rotting propaganda against marriage. Hopefully, her followers will realize they need to see it for themselves and discern marriage. Well, I happen to know who you're referring to. I saw one of those lengthy interviews. I think it was an hour and a half at least. And she was very articulate and she made a few good points here and there. But this, now that you mention it, this was part of her program, part of her agenda or philosophy, if you want to say, to tell men to ask for DNA tests. I hadn't put the two and two together on this one. And maybe the guy who posted this on Reddit is a devotee of this particular lady. I don't know. He doesn't say. But there's an example of really bad advice, really, really bad and destructive advice to tell husbands to ask their wives, you know, now that a baby is born, to have, let's have some DNA tests to find out who's the father of this baby. And as I recall hearing Michael Knowles respond to this, he says that that's an absolute insult. It's tantamount to calling my wife a whore, is how Michael Knowles put it. And I completely agree with him. I mean, it is exactly that. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying, Iris, but I think this is another reminder. How did Mark put it, Cyrus? He said there's a lot of bad bro advice out there.
Yeah,
I think
that's
is
right.
How he put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mark, one of our ace technicians here at Relevant Radio, he commented on this, and I agree with him. There's a lot of bad bro advice out there. There's a lot of bad marriage advice. There's a lot of bad advice about raising kids. And the problem is if you don't know what's good or bad and the guy's like really forceful or he comes across as super, you know, I guess his own way of trying to be masculine or tough guy or something like that. Some guys, they fall for that. Maybe their fathers were not particularly strong. Maybe they don't know their own mind. So they're looking for another man who may be deeply mired in nonsense himself, but they're looking for another man to tell him how to be a husband, how to be a father. There's a lot of bad bro advice out there, quite frankly. So thank you, Iris, for underscoring that point. 888-914-9149. How about Joyce now in St. Paul, Minnesota? Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning, Patrick. This has been an exciting show so far. We're baking cookies for the bake sale at church, and we had to call in because it occurred to us, fornicators fornicate, just like liars lie, and they think everyone is doing it. Mm-hmm. I think he's a fornicator. My advice to all women listening is, if this ever occurs to you, someone asks you such questions, run away. Don't have anything to do with this guy. I wouldn't care if I did invest 10 years of my life with him. Mm-hmm. It's unacceptable.
What is it? Now, this is interesting, Joyce. What is it about when I read his statement on Reddit, what is it that you picked up on that makes you think that he's doing that? Because he technically would be an adulterer, not a fornicator, but I understand what you mean. What is it about what he said that makes you suspect that?
I think that he suspects her. He's suspected her probably always. And he suspects her because he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like
he's,
liars.
Like he's projecting onto her what he's
everybody,
doing?
Yeah, they think everybody is doing it because they're doing it. You know, they're just bad. They're bad
Could
people.
Be.
So they just put that on everyone.
The colloquial term nowadays for what you're describing is gaslighting. When people say that you're gaslighting me, it's like you're making me think I'm guilty for something that you're really guilty of, which is what you're saying.
Well,
right?
Yeah, totally unacceptable, right?
So I'm going to just put you in the hot seat for a minute, Joyce. You're a wonderful woman, I can tell just by talking to you. But in a hypothetical situation, you've been married for, you know, 8-9 years, you have a baby, and
55.
Your husband asked you.
Yeah, 55. Oh, yeah. 50.
I'm just saying hypothetically. All if right. You're the young wife, you know, and your husband out of the blue asks you for a DNA test, I'm guessing you would be horrified and deeply offended.
Oh, I don't know how she left him standing, honestly. That guy is out. He's up to no good.
Can you fix a marriage like that, though? I mean, I would like to see every marriage survive and thrive. I mean, nothing. I mean, as Jesus says, for man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible, including healing marriages. Do you think so in a case like this? Can that marriage be healed?
But I've seen women do that and more. So, yeah. Everything can be fixed.
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends on the woman.
I feel bad for her. I really do.
Yes.
Because it's like a double whammy. He's not helping out.
Bad.
And then when she finds out the real reason why he's not helping out. What an insult to her.
Well, it's like the guy who said, you know, her husband called her a whore. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Well, no, what Michael Knowles was saying is that if even the suggestion of something like that to his wife would be tantamount to calling her a whore. But I mean, he didn't obviously say it. He was reacting in horror to this advice of asking your wife for a DNA test.
Guys can be insensitive, but that's like over the top insensitive. I mean, he is completely thoughtless about what he says to his wife. Completely thoughtless. Who would do that? No, I don't care that he had advice from his friends or the TV or his computer. I mean, he isn't thinking. He's still responsible for his own behavior.
Come on, man.
I agree, Joyce. I do agree with you. Thanks for the call. Hey, by the way, what kind of cookies are you making? I need to know.
Chocolate chip.
Ooh.
Chocolate chip.
Okay.
Yep.
We do accept gift baskets here at Rob. I'm just joking.
We have a new oven, too.
I can picture them.
Quite a few years, we have a new oven.
I hope it's a successful bake sale. Tell everybody at the parish about Relevant Radio, please. Let them know.
I have.
Thank you.
Yes, our parish is diminishing. We have to get more people in there.
Yeah,
we can help. We have to get more people back to church.
Well, between chocolate chip cookies and Relevant Radio, I think things are going to look up for that parish. I appreciate the call, Joyce. I really do. Let's see. Let's go to. I think we should go to a break is what I think we should do right now. And then we'll come back to more of your phone calls. The number is 888-914-9149. That number is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters, 888-914-9149. Am I a straight shooter? I think so. I try to be, but I also try to be polite. This one just got a little bit under my skin. I'll be right back. Thanks to network sponsor PushPay. PushPay offers parishes a platform for tracking donations and sacraments, overseeing schedules, mobile apps to help manage your administrative load, and much more. Info at relevantradio.com/pushpay. That's relevantradio.com/pushpay.
Hi there.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
Okay, 888-914-9149. You can call that number. If you get a busy signal, please hit redial. Kirby asked a question that I have already answered on the program, but I told him I'd be happy to answer it again. And where did Kirby go? He says, here he goes. He says, why is a random unverified Reddit post with no background info or context a topic of your show today? Well, for this reason, Kirby, as I mentioned, because it's an example of a rampant problem in society, including Catholic men, who are receiving bad advice on marriage and raising families. That's why it's a topic on today's program.
We clear?
Well, be nice to Kirby. I'm sure
Kirby's
a good
clear?
Guy. Pretty sure Kirby's a good guy. I have no doubt of it. He's a good guy. But that's the reason why Kirby, as I explained before, because, you know, whether, you know, hopefully this is not the kind of thing that would ever be part of your own experience, but there are young men out there who are falling into pitfalls because they're seeking advice from people, sources, whose advice is not sound. And this is an example of what that bad advice can lead to when you ask your wife to have a DNA test, you know, as far as the baby is concerned. So I explained it before. I think it's self-evident why it's an important topic. You know, there are many other important topics, but this is one of them. So that's why, and I hope that helps. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Tim in Illinois. Good morning, Tim. Welcome.
Good morning. Just taking my speaker off here.
Okay.
Just wanted to mention that I One of my daughters has different kind of different eye color and different hair style, different hair. Like hers is real curly. My wife and I, mine is real straight. Anyway, so there were some things that were kind of troubling me. And then years later, when she was in school, she asked about blood types. And mm-hmm. her blood type can't match my wife and mine. Oh. And it turned out this was not my daughter. When she finally confessed to this years later, I just felt sorry for whoever the actual father was, because he didn't know the love of this sweet little girl, and he didn't have this incredible young woman in his life. And she now has children, and she is just, she's an incredible person. And I'm proud to know her. And again, I do feel sorry for her. Well, and just to, you know, these things do happen. And if I questioned that, I think I might have gone about it a little different, maybe get a fingernail sample or something like that, mm-hmm. and just have it done without saying anything. But to insult her like that, anyway, that's what I want to share.
Tim, I got to say, I mean, you have a magnanimous heart, and that even though this was certainly, I'm sure it was a shock to you, you have a big heart, and you love this daughter of yours as a good father would. So I'm really impressed, very edified by what you're saying.
Well, anybody who knew her would you fall in love with her right away. She's just such an incredible young woman.
And you know, I'll bet a lot of that has to do with the good father who raised her to be a good woman like that, namely you.
Well, we can only hope, right? We just keep asking for help.
Indeed.
And he keeps giving it. So,
well,
God bless
very
you.
Edifying.
Have a happy Easter.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Yeah. What do you think about that, Cyrus? That's pretty cool.
That is a definition of a real man and a great father right there. Well done.
No doubt about it. Thank you so much for that call. 888-914-9149. How about Jesse now in Woodland, California? Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Patrick. I've been listening to you for decades about your various books. And I was lucky enough to be on the 2019 Holy Land tour with pilgrimage with you and 1,000+ other Americans.
it was a big pilgrimage, Good to talk to you again, Jesse.
I mean, it's not fair to ask if you remember me, but you had 1,000+ other folks and millions of folks. So anyway, I was in your company. I was really grateful for that.
Thank you. God bless you.
Every place we went, we would say Mass, and they would say the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. Mm-hmm. And here in Woodland, the Holy Rosary Catholic Church, we never did. But when we got back from the tour, that's a regular practice now. And I was wondering if that was like a nationwide policy that all Catholic churches are doing now, since the bishop from mm-hmm. from New Mexico, I think, was...
It was Bishop James Wall from Gallup, New Mexico, who's our chaplain. Yeah, you saw... It's interesting, Jesse, I'll give you the answer to your question. No, it is no longer something that's common at Catholic parishes. You do see it here and there, but it was required until about the time of the Second Vatican Council or shortly thereafter. Pope Leo XIII, who reigned... his reign ended right around the turn of the previous century. So I think it was around 1903, 1902. I'd have to go back and check it. But he had a vision granted by God of the 20th century and the terrible destruction that the devil would work or wreak in the world, and in particular in the church. And he was so shaken by this vision that he immediately asked for a pen and some paper to be brought to him. And he composed, I think it was a longer version, but the prayer that we pray is a sort of a condensed version of this. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, that prayer that you heard. And he I don't think I would say decreed, but he said that he would like this prayer prayed at the end of every Mass everywhere in the world. And so for the intervening decades, the better part of 50 some odd years, maybe closer to 60 years, this prayer to St. Michael, as mandated by the Pope at that time, was prayed as part of the Mass. At the end of Mass, when Mass was entirely over, then the congregation would pray this prayer. For some reason, and I don't know the actual reason, but I mean, people speculate, but this practice was abrogated after Vatican II. And so it was no longer required. And what happened was that as soon as it no longer became required, it was dispensed with and was no longer made use of and fell into disuse as a liturgical, you know, something that took place in a liturgical setting after Mass was over. So what you saw was, to my mind, a very good thing in which some bishops and some priests do in their dioceses or in their parishes, they do have this as a custom in the parish where the congregation says the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel after Mass. It's not required by any means whatsoever, and it's rather unusual nowadays, but that's how it used to be for about 60 years. So you got a chance to see it again. So there's your answer.
Thank you. May I make one more comment and ask you a question?
Sure.
In the travel kit that was sent out to us, there was a placard in that said something about once you return from your Holy Land trip, your experience at Mass and reading Scripture will never be the same. And it's so true because, you know, we've been there. We've been mm-hmm. to places where Christ was, where the dirt that Christ actually touched, like Mount Tabor. I purposely bent down and grabbed the soil and thought Christ was here, let alone walking the Via Dolorosa. You remember that early in the morning?
I do. That was still dark.
Fantastic.
And you know, what you're saying is true for pilgrims since time immemorial to go to the holy places. Like Father Rocky, for example, he's not going to the Holy Land, but he's going to be leading a pilgrimage for Relevant Radio to Poland and to Prague in the Czech Republic. And even though the Lord was never there, these are places where great saints lived and worked and died and ministered. So there's a tremendous power. And by the way, as I understand it, there's still some room available. Go to the Relevant Radio app to find out more about Father Rocky's pilgrimage. If there's room, you can still sign up. But to your point, Jesse, going on a pilgrimage is a very powerful thing for believers because, like you said, once you've gone to the Holy Land, for example, when you read the Bible, when you participate at Mass, it takes on a whole new meaning because you can see in your mind's eye the places where these things unfolded. You can visualize them now in a way that Amen. You couldn't before you made the pilgrimage. So you're right on target, Jesse. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you. Let's go to Ken now. Do we have time? Yeah, we do. Let's go to Ken in Indiana. Good morning, Ken.
Hi. Good morning, Patrick. My comment is about the implied comments about the story of the guy asking his wife to take a paternity test.
Yeah.
And my only comment is that many of the implied comments, or even many of them, are just direct, that this guy he's a goner, and that she should, you know, she should leave him, and it's going to end the relationship. And my only comment to that is, I go back to the vows and my own situation. I took a lot of heat from family and friends because my former wife, she had cheated on me multiple times. Mm-hmm. And then the last time I took her back again. I'm not calling to say, you know, hey, you know, I'm super Catholic or anything like that. I'm just, my question is don't the vows state that till death do us part? So isn't, you know, even if this is fake, and I understand that it might be, but there's a, and you're trying to make a bigger point, and that's all I'm trying to say is, you know, let's remember our vows say till death do us part, you know, and when somebody does something stupid, regardless of what it is, don't we have an obligation to work through that, you know, to the end, to save for the sake of the marriage, for the sake of our vows?
We do. And so I'll just pause you for a second. That's why you may remember I said that the goal is to heal the marriage, not to destroy the marriage. Right. And remember I said that as Jesus said, for man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible, including the healing of a marriage that's been damaged. And there are different ways that you can damage a marriage. So that is foremost in my mind. as I approach a topic like this. Other people called in and said, yeah, she should leave, or, you know, that's the end of the marriage, that kind of thing. But that's not my default position. Mine, rather, is what you're saying. How do we heal this, if at all possible?
Yeah, my comment is for those who are calling to say, yeah, she should be out of there. Because I think even marriages have become, we're a throwaway society. And unfortunately, marriage is not exempt from that as well, so, right. Sadly. And our kids, ultimately, the kids are the ones that suffer the greatest.
That is true. That is certainly true. Oh. And that's the danger about things like this, is especially with, in this case, there's a little baby. But in families where there are other children, more children, it's even worse. It's compounded.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Patrick. I appreciate your show and everything you do.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate that. I have a note here that came in. Where did it go? Let's see. This is from Judy. She's listening in Wausau, Wisconsin, regarding this DNA test. And apparently this is a topic that I thought we would touch upon briefly and move on, but a lot of people, apparently, as I said earlier, this is something that has widespread ramifications for a lot of people listening, because the reaction to this is people want to talk about it. So Judy says, "Dear Patrick, yes, my vote is that he was being a jerk. My ex-husband years back, I was not a Catholic at the time. After 5 years of marriage, I had gone for my yearly checkup because of my age. My doctor advised me about the biological clock ticking." So let's see. She asked her husband about having a child, and his response to her was, "Why didn't you have one before you met me?" That's kind of weird. And she says things got worse after that, and that is why he is now my ex-husband. What that man did with the DNA thing was just wrong, in my opinion. Thanks, a very devoted Catholic listener to Relevant Radio. Well, I understand where you're coming from, Judy. I'm really sorry to hear that your marriage ended that way. That's a terrible tragedy, but I can understand. Chris in Seattle writes me a rather long email. I don't think I can read all of it, but I just want to acknowledge your email, Chris. Thank you for that. He says, "I just heard you mentioning the Reddit guy who wanted a DNA test from his wife. Actually, the father in question could have gotten a DNA test on his own to find out if the baby is his. He doesn't need to get his wife's permission to get DNA. The DNA of the baby has to match his own marks." Yes, and I know how DNA tests work and how they're conducted. But he goes on to say,
"It's science."
He says, "I have read guys who've actually done this." And he talks about how to do it, et cetera, et cetera. So the bad advice in this case would be that the guy didn't need to bring it up to his wife at all. So he says, "Before you judge this man's situation too harshly, look into cuckoldry statistics. Although studies vary, there may have been studies where the stats range from 5% to 30%, where the child is not the child of the married father." And he gives some examples of this. He gives me a book recommendation. So yes, he says, "I appreciate your show. Thank you." And I appreciate that, Chris. Yes to everything that you've said. Yes, it's possible that the wife was not innocent in this issue, but everything that the husband said in this discussion, the way he described it, makes it pretty clear that she was not at fault for anything.
Patrick, wouldn't that be unethical to run a DNA test behind your spouse's back on your children? Isn't there some kind of trust there that's being violated? And then how do you, once the DNA test comes back and the child is yours, now you have a lifetime of, wow, I didn't trust my wife. There's a trust that is completely evaporated at that point.
Yes, I think it would. I mean, that's certainly it introduces a real problem, a further problem into the marriage. But as the last person whose email I just read, the wife is not necessary. Her DNA is not necessary for the test, because obviously he saw her pregnant. She delivered the baby. He was probably there when she delivered the baby. The DNA would need to come from him and from the baby to determine if he is the father of the baby. So that's what the earlier caller or the earlier email person was saying, is that, you know, he doesn't need to ask her anything, because it's not necessary that she participate in the test. You see what I mean?
Science.
So, It's just difficult all the way around, no doubt about it. And clearly, because people are responding, you know, with their own interest and angles on this topic, it is something that maybe, I hope this is not true, but maybe more common than we might imagine. But just to underscore the reason why this is even a topic at all is because of the widespread problem of young men seeking marriage and family and child-rearing advice from sources that are not sound. That's the point. Somebody wrote in a few minutes ago, it's time to move on now, time to move on, time to get back to God. We have a lot of different topics that we talk about on the program. Some explicitly deal with God, many do not. This is a life issue. And there's always a God door in these life issues, that's for sure. Marriage, family, child rearing, trust, all these things. I mean, that's a massive and very important topic. So if you feel like time to move on, well, I don't know what to tell you. This is a topic of interest to a number of people, and plenty of them are holding and want to talk on the phone. So we'll get to your calls as well on the other side of this quick timeout. You're listening to The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Electricity will make the weird signs. Fantasy and microchips shooting from the hip. Something different will make the weird signs. Today we'd like to thank Viviana, who is listening in California, for donating her 1975 Mercedes-Benz 450. That's elegant. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
Patrick Madrid is on Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
Okay. Let's go to Ellen now in Maine. Hello, Ellen, and welcome.
Hello. I've been listening.
Yeah.
Man with the DNA test, where was he the 9 months his wife was pregnant?
I mean, I can only go by the three long paragraphs of description that he gives. There's no way to know the backstory or anything else other than what he gives. But the way he writes it, they are married and appear to have been married for the better part of 10 years. So I'm guessing he was there the whole time.
But what I'm saying is, why did he wait until the baby is born? If he had doubts, where was he months that his wife is pregnant?
He apparently was there. Now, one or two people who wrote in the last hour or so suggested that perhaps he would have a reason for thinking there's no way she could have a baby because maybe a vasectomy might have been involved. Now, he doesn't say that. That's just a, you know, speculation. But that could be one way of explaining his paranoia about this.
Well, I agree with the other people that have said that he's getting his information elsewhere. He does not sound very godly. And there are so many young individuals out there that are not godly. And he messed up big time. Obviously,
I think so.
He took the post down. Mm-hmm. So he messed up. And hopefully God can help put it back together if he wants to or if she wants to.
Yeah.
But, you know, where was his doubt for 9 months? It's just, you know.
Yeah, we can only speculate.
Yeah. But anyway, I love your show. Thank you.
Thanks, Ellen. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It's a strange topic, no doubt about it, but it's maybe far more relatable to many people than one might imagine. Let's go to Jared now in Florida. Hello, Jared.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I was just calling about yesterday's caller, Erin.
Yeah.
She had some kind of mental health problems going on there. And I from the sound of it, you might still be in touch with her and whatnot. but I'm
not. Not that it matters one way or the other, but I'm not in touch with her per se. But anyway, go ahead.
You ask her to call you back or something like that, maybe next week or something.
Yeah, I did ask her to get back in touch because I care about her progress. I think so many people do, maybe you included. But since our conversation yesterday, no, I haven't talked with her.
Right, right. So in the future, if you do or if you listen, I dealt with myself with like PTSD and depression, anxiety, all those types of things. And I struggled with that for a number of years and tried different like medications and therapists and that sort of thing. It didn't help at all. And the one thing that did help me a lot was, which I don't think a lot of people know about, and that's why I wanted to mention it, is it's called neurofeedback therapy, also called EEG biofeedback.
Okay.
It's where they can actually kind of map your brain activity and see what's going on there, and along with your symptoms, and treat it accordingly. And it's non-invasive. There's no side effects or anything like that. There's no medication or anything. And that was one thing that really helped me a lot. It's usually like a neuropsychologist that deals with it, I think. Or there's other therapists that maybe are trained in it. But I just wanted to kind of mention that and put that out there. If you know, if you do get, or she gets back in touch with you or anything.
Fair enough. I don't know enough about that to be able to recommend it to somebody, but for those who are listening,
just for them to check it out, maybe they can always kind of look it up and read about it or whatever. I came across it on the radio. I know that there's other kind of similar techniques that I've seen on TV where they deal with kind of where they're able to actually kind of see what is going on in the brain and do certain therapies in accord with that.
Yeah, I don't have the ability to evaluate that, but I'm happy to hear that that was helpful to you. I really am.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Jared. Thank you. Appreciate the call. 888-914-9149. There's still time, I think. Let's go to Denise in Fresno. I'm sorry, South. Let me start over. Denise in San Francisco. Good morning, Denise.
Yes. Good morning. First time caller, Patrick.
Thank you.
My question is not related to anything that anyone's been talking about. My daughter and I moved back to San Francisco. She's 42 and she wanted to finish out her degree. Okay. And she's going to a college here as chronic.
Would you do me a favor, Denise, without going into any specifics about schools or anything like that, could you restate that without the personally identifiable information about the place?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. She's going to a college for film, and the teacher keeps showing pornography and rape films. So she wrote him and said, you know, she's really uncomfortable with that. She has a bad past with her father. And he wrote her back and said, that's too bad. It's your problem. Then I just have to dock your grade. So she's really struggling because she's trying to stick it out, get her degree. And at 42, it's already hard enough with a bunch of 18-year-olds, but she's doing really well. But we've been praying about it. And I told her I'd call you and to see what your advice was. She is on the verge of quitting. Mm-hmm. And I don't want her to quit. We moved here with such, you know, hope.
Let me ask you a couple questions, Denise. I can tell this is really a burden for you. I'm sorry about that. You mentioned that the professor is showing these videos. Now, is this, these are videos he shows in the classroom?
They're filmed, yes. Yes.
Oh. Because she's there to study film, he has the students film such things? Is that what you mean?
No, he shows them as examples of, you know, they study lighting and camera angles.
I see. So he's using, under the pretext of teaching about light and camera angles and things, the films he's using are pornographic.
Yes, and rape.
Yeah. Well, that's horrendous. It's absolutely reprehensible. Now, chances are he can hide behind his quote unquote art and his quote unquote, you know, I'm teaching a class on film, and this is a valid way of looking at that. Of course, it's ridiculous, but he probably can get away with it. And if that's the case, then I think, I mean, just based on what you're telling me, is that she should go to a different school, or at the very least not take any courses from this particular teacher, if that's possible.
Yes.
Why subject yourself to that? Yeah, that's what I would look to do if I were her.
Okay. Yes, to avoid any classes he's teaching. And
I mean, what a creep. And it seems to me that whoever he is, and we don't know, and I don't need to know any of those things.
No.
But just in the abstract, if a male professor is going to show this kind of videos or films, quote unquote, to a class that includes women, it's bad enough that the men are seeing it. But what an insult to these women to force them to watch this degrading behavior. It's reprehensible. And if I had to guess, I would assume he gets his jollies that way. And it's a pretext for him to do that. You know what I mean?
He has a fetish blog and all these other things. And she's just sickened because the rape is so, violent. And, well, of course. So I told her I'd call you because she's really struggling and I'm struggling to support her. I'm working and...
No. Sorry.
So I told her I'd ask, and that's okay.
So what about this then? She goes into the academic dean's office or whatever and says, I don't want to be in this class with that professor. What else can I take? What other professor gives classes so that I can get my degree but never have to set foot in this guy's classroom again? I would say do that.
The problem is he's the dean. So she has to go to the head of the school anonymously and say, do you understand what this man is showing? And what does it value? What does it profit?
Yeah.
You know, film classes. But it's a liberal school. And so we are looking into other schools. But that was my thought was, yes, to not take any of his classes. Period.
I would avoid it. Now, I don't know. I mean, a lawyer could give her good advice. I'm not a lawyer, obviously, but my instinct would be to say if she'd like to stay there and fight for her right to not have to be in a class with a creep like that, if she were to say this is sexual harassment. I feel unsafe. He's showing videos that you know, who knows how they might affect other people in the class, and maybe it could have a negative effect on them. It's, you know, to use some terminology that would, from a legal standpoint, get people's attention. She should ask a lawyer what he thinks about it, but that comes to my mind, you know, that way it makes it more difficult for them to try to bounce her out of there if that's a way they might go about it, but...
Okay, I'll tell her that you said that. All right, Patrick, thank you for your insight, and God bless you so much.
Thank you, Denise. I hope things work out smoothly for her. I feel sad that she's gone through this, but under no circumstances should she continue to tolerate that. Thank you. Oh, by the way, I called him a creep, Cyrus, but I think that's a good word for him. Let's go to Lynn in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Lynn.
Oh, good morning, Patrick. For the reason of timing, I just wanted to make a quick comment and say that in the world that we're living in today, people are being bombarded by television, social media, and lies. And you got to be careful what you're looking at. You got to be careful what you're listening to, because you can play it over and over and over in your mind and become it. You have to... really be grounded and have an anchor in the Lord Jesus. And if you don't, you're going to be destroyed.
Yep.
So be careful. The Bible even says, be careful what you look at. Be careful what goes into your eye gates and your ear gates.
Yes.
And don't believe these lies. The devil is real, and he's out there to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yes,
so
indeed.
Please, be careful, people.
Yep.
That's all I want to say.
You heard what Lynn said, everybody. That's great advice, Lynn. You're right. Guard those gates into your mind and seek after the good, the pure, the beautiful, those things, and screen out the bad things.
Yes. Yeah, you really have to stop looking at these things. You know, I mean, it's there to destroy. Look at the good.
So true. Lynn, we're out of time, but I'm glad that we ended up on that note. Thank you for that. Also, I want to acknowledge your email that came in. Norm from Warwick, Rhode Island. Thank you for that. And I understand the point you're making. Fair enough. I'll have to leave it at that because I'm out of time. But thank you for sending the note. Well, until we're together again, please pray for me and I'll pray for you. God bless you.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. You could miss it.